on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. The AFL is going to change the rules regarding father and sons. A point system looks like being introduced as to the value of the player. I love the romance of sons following in the footsteps of their dad. I think it's great for the game and its history that a family tree can be followed. The present rule says a player has to have played 100 games at his club for his son to be eligible, and the club now has to match the bidding draft pick. Now with a point system, let's bring it back to just one game as the criteria for father and son. A formula will tell what the kid is worth, so that's fair to all clubs. I'm KB. That's my take.
And it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Williams picks it up, gave it to Liberatore. Snaps! Great goal!
So 3 or 4 jump at ground level. Viney around the body, and of course he kicks a goal.
Watson crashes his way through. Kick on its way! And Jade Watson pumps the fist, and he's got the Bombers over the line.
So here's Cloak from 60 metres out. The kick's on its way. It's coming back! Killadilla, kick on its way.
Home.
Hawthorne hearts are breaking. That is a goal. Tom Hawkins, you're the king of Geelong.
Yes, there's some great father and sons, of course, just strutting their stuff as well. 9:42, 9:11, 16. How many games do you think we should bring it back to? I think we should bring back father and sons to just one game. 0433 98 11 16. If you want to send through that SMS, if you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. Coming up, The Buzz, Johnny Ralph taking your calls on all things sport, so you can set the sporting agenda. We'll catch up with Ian Robson, of course, the Victory CEO, Rowan Dummett, will fix your golf swing, and Brian Waldron, the business of sport. But next, The Buzz, Johnny Ralph.
Well, I'm a king bee, baby. Want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey.
On Hungry for Sport, John Ralph.
Get on to Johnny Ralph.
That's what we do, Jeff, apart from sacking the entire Melbourne Football Club committee. G'day, Buzz.
How are you, Kevin? You're a smart man, aren't you? This is part of a cunning plan for you. You're angling for the grandfather-son rule. You've already asked Mark Evans about it.
And I think there should be a grandfather-grandson rule too, by the way.
Oh, no, I'm very much aware that you are, and this is part of the slippery
ask
slope.
Ask the fans that.
Look, I've got to say on face value, it makes a bit of sense, Kevin. Most of your suggestions are nonsensical, but if you get the bidding system right, if you make sure that every club has to pay exact market rate for their account, Academy kids or the father-son kids, I mean, why wouldn't you have that? It would mean that you would probably have to open it up to those SANFL clubs and the waffle clubs. I've had clubs who had silly restrictions on the father-sons from WA and SANFL, but you could do that. You know, Bryce Gibbs probably should have gone to Adelaide, shouldn't he? You know, the Mortons probably should have gone to West Coast. But I think if you have to pay the exact point value, why wouldn't you open it up? You listen to those that tape there. They're the best stories in the game. The father-son's coming through. Stephen Silvani's kid. Rice's kid. Craig Bradley's kid at Carlton. Imagine if all three of those kids could get to Carlton next year. It'd be fantastic for the Navy Blue faithful. So, look, should it be 50 games? Should it be 20 games? I think if you get the system right, your proposal makes a bit of sense.
So you're giving my take a tick, eh?
Well, I am. Well, normally you'd say, no, it needs to be 50 games. But that's just an arbitrary figure. That's just something we're plucking out of thin air. I mean, we've had 9 changes to the father-son bidding system. We've had getting them in for a third-round pick. We've had matching it the bit after. But this one, this is not even, okay, we'll offer you pick 3, and now we have to take pick 17. So it's not even in the first round of the draft. It's not even the same round. Mm. It is exactly the same amount of picks, the amount of points. The one thing I would say with this father-son bidding system is we've got to be able to explain it to the fans. Right now, have you looked at some of the articles about it? If we want Callum Mills, well, we've got 672 points, and then we have to make up the third round pick, and then we bring a second round pick in, and then all of a sudden, the fan says to himself, I've got no idea if we've got any picks anymore. So they're going to work on a champion data model that has a little computer called Dexter or whatever it might be. It'll spit out the points value. And if we can actually get to a system where everyone knows what those points mean, I don't mind it, Kevin. Grandfather-son rule, it's coming, baby.
Well, the grandfather-grandson rule, I think, should come in. I love the historic sense of AFL clubs. I like the romance of a family tree being involved with a football club. And I've said many times before, I know it was back in the days when there was no drafting, but, you know, the Collier brothers and the Toomey brothers and the Rose brothers and the Danahers all playing for the one club. I think that is fantastic for the game of football. And I think if you can play one game of AFL football, not easy to play one game of AFL football, at the highest level. It's a pretty good effort if you can play one game.
Well, if you look at some of the outriders, I think Terry Wallace played 87 games as a Western Bulldog. Have players played 90? I think Ross Monaghan, the former Richmond footy boss, I think he might have played 99 games. So why does Ross not have his sons eligible if a bloke who played one more game, maybe 20 minutes on the bench, does? So now that the system's right, yeah, tick it off.
And it could be even if your father, say, Eddie Maguire, is president, holds a high position at a club for a long, long period of time.
Okay, let's not get silly.
And the
Kevin.
Name
let's
is
not
absolutely
silly.
Synonymous with the club. You might be president for 10 years or you might be a board member for 25 years, whatever it is, that maybe there's some connection there too. I mean, if Eddie's sons grow up, and I think they play down at Paran now, if Eddie's sons grow up and they're good enough to play AFL football, well, if their father is an iconic figure as president of the Collingwood Football Club for 45 years, because I think Eddie will be president for 45 years, then why shouldn't those kids have an opportunity of playing at Collingwood?
Now you've jumped the shark. It is all about
I'm
AFL
throwing that
players.
In, just throwing it in.
Kevin, it's all about AFL players and their progeny. Look, it would have meant that maybe Ben Cousins might have played at Geelong. It would have meant that, as someone said off the
correct.
SMS, maybe Alex Rance would be playing for West Coast.
Could be.
I reckon 10 years ago, you get value picks. You throw a bloke in for pick 60. These days, everyone has such exhaustive research on these kids that there is really no such thing as a value kid. If a player is only worth pick 60 in the system, well, that's what he should be paid. There's not the massive discounts or the massive outriders, or there's not clubs that would do more research on a homegrown talent than the other 17 clubs. Everyone does an equal amount of research. Everyone knows what a kid's worth. I like that system. I like the romance of it.
I want to take a couple of early calls and see what the fans think about father and son. If we can bring it back to one game because of the new point system that is coming. Give us your thoughts on father and sons. And do you love that idea that a club gets first crack at a son because that father has played, say, just one game? Mel joins us in Malvern. G'day, Mel.
G'day, guys. How are you? I've been trying to talk to Johnny Ralph all since the start of the season and, you know, wind him up. All he talked about all summer, how great Brisbane was going to be. And now they've started winning, so I can't even give you a hard time now.
Hey, you can give me a hard time about St Kilda. I thought they wouldn't win a game. You can give me a hard time about the Gold Coast. I thought they were top four. But in those Fox Footy roundtable discussions, look, I didn't think they'd be anywhere but bottom six. I really worried about the key forwards. So I've stuffed a few up. Not sure whether I'm relenting on Ryan Crowley. I still thought that Fremantle couldn't win without Ryan Crowley, Kevin.
I told you that was folly.
Well, I think the evidence is probably overwhelming the other way, but we'll just see how that season unfolds. Hey, can I get you to...
What's your thoughts on the father and son, Mel?
Well, Kev, I was really thinking about it, because I do Kim Wiedemann's hair. Her son's up next year. His dad played there. Mark Wiedemann played 46 games. But I think what would be fair would be a whole season, like 22, just 22 games. You know what I mean? One, two, look, a lot of clubs now will give a guy a game because at the end of the year and they want to see if he can do anything, they get the game. But I mean, like, if you play 22 games, it's like you've been at the club, you've established yourself, you're a club player. You know what I mean? Like, how many guys play one game and you never even hear them again or even know who they played for?
But that's their association with that club. And first of all, the kid has got to want to go to that club too, by the way.
Yep.
So, you know, there's got to be some affiliation. Just because his dad played doesn't mean the kid has to go there. We saw that with Mark Murphy. Now, that boy, a young Wiedemann that's coming up in the draft. Now, Mark Wiedemann just told us by Mel then, played, 46 games with Collingwood. His grandfather, Murray Wiedemann, was captain of their 1958 premiership side and one of the greats of Collingwood. Now, you would think that kid should have the opportunity to play for Collingwood if, in fact, he wanted to play for Collingwood because of the historical sense.
And it wouldn't mean he would get there because there'd be... Look,
they've got a bid for him.
Well, even under this current system, I've spoken to a lot of recruiters out there and they say they're going to be some really tough decisions. All of a sudden, rather than getting someone, Tom Hawkins for pick 30 or Liberatore for pick 40, you know, that bloke, someone might bid for instance, Mark Wiedemann's kid. He's about pick 9 in the draft. That's what Terry Wallace is assessing him. You might say, we're desperate for midfield stocks. With our first pick, we're going to take the best midfielder. So it is going to mean you're going to overlook some more of these father sons. We've seen Josh Kelly at the moment. Doesn't he look a beauty for Adelaide?
Well, that's Craig Kelly's boy.
Yeah.
Very good last
Collie one. Would have overlooked him. We're going to see
James
more
Stewart
of that.
Stewart is one with the Giants.
Yeah, and doesn't he look a likely size? He moves well. So
you've got to pay something for them.
Yes, so it's going to mean you're going to overlook some of those, but at least you have the choice. Why wouldn't you want to see a third-generation Wiedemann? He looks a ripper, big, raw-boned, beautiful marker. I think he had chronic fatigue or something like that last year. He had some stress fractures. He's roaring up the charts. Him at Collingwood, it just makes sense.
So someone at the AFL is going to come up with a formula where they're going to rank players that they believe would be first-round draft selections, those would be second-round draft selections, and then after that, you know, whatever, you know, the point system is for that particular player. So that if you want, if you wanted to take the young boy Wiedemann, if someone thought he was a first-round draft pick, then they may say, well, he's worth 1,500 points.
Yep.
And therefore, all those draft selections have got to add up to a certain number of points before you can actually get him.
Yeah, they'll say someone's bid for him at pick 9. You've only got pick 15. Mm. So the to bridge the
pick
gap...
Pick 15's worth 500 points.
Yep, and the other one's worth 800. You need to find 300 points. Mm. Your second round pick might be worth 260. So there's 260. You still need to add 40 points. And so your third round pick will go back from 38 to 42. That's a real rough guide to it. But again, if we can actually work out what the point systems mean, if people understand them, you bring the people with you, tick, tick, tick.
A break, we'll come straight back and we'll take your calls. The Buzz, of course, is always brought to you by Eco Garage Doors, and they've got a special on this month of May. Eco Garage Doors will be donating $200. That's right, $200 from every insulated garage door sold to your nominated sporting club or charity. Now, we all have got a charity close to our hearts or a local sporting club, so it's your choice, and Eco will send you $200 on your behalf. We'll send on your behalf to your charity or your local sporting club. So give Eco a call for a free quote on 9703 1500. That's 9703 1500. Or you can visit them online at ecogaragedoors.com.au.
If the board take it into their hands, well, you've got nothing to do. You can't do much about it because you are a servant of the football club. And that's their prerogative. Two is, if you think the players don't want you there, then you've got an obligation, I believe, to think, well, you're not doing the right thing by the player group. Three is, you wake up in the morning, you don't want to be there. I can't answer for the board. I have not been told by any of the player group that they don't want me as coach. But as far as I'm concerned, I coach until I don't coach.
Well, I think we've heard that before from Mick. I don't think there's anything new in that story on 5AA. Mick is not walking away from the Carlton Football Club, so it's up to the Carlton Football Club to make whatever decision they want.
I think it's a naive decision. I think right at this moment, Mick wants to coach on and Mark Le Goudejay wants him to coach on. The problem is we're in a modern world. It's the same as Mark saying last year, it's okay, we'll just let the contract roll. If they let this roll, by the end of the year, they'll be getting belted by 100 points. The fans will be turning up in, 7 or 8,000 a game. All of the players who they've shopped around in terms of draft picks and draft and wanting to leave will absolutely be very keen to leave because everyone will start attacking their players. The sponsors will be quivering. Yeah.
But that's not Mick's decision.
No, it's not Mick's decision at all.
The point I made yesterday.
Yep.
It all falls back onto the shoulders of Carlton.
Yes.
So what happens to Carlton? The board is responsible.
Yep, and maybe the board needs to, I don't know, overrule Mark at some stage. Maybe Mark and Mick, and I believe it'll be about the buy, where they'll come together and they'll say, where are we at? And maybe they will say, okay, I'm not going to coach next year. We'll announce that to the public. We'll start searching for a coach. And so maybe that will be some sort of circuit breaker. But if they keep performing as they are, and things keep rolling on as they are without some sort of determination, it will just get worse and worse. It'll snowball. The crisis will continue because right now they're a sitting target for fans to leave them for as they did. I mean, geez, there might have been 16,000 there at first bounce. I reckon there were 7 or 8 by half time, and I reckon there were less by the last bounce. And again, for you lose your players, you lose your momentum. Mate, it might cost them $1 million in terms of people not going to see that football club. So something's got to give.
There's a list of Carlton coaches in the Herald Sun today. So if you have a look at that, Carlton fans, you may like to tell us who you'd like to be the next coach of Carlton. They've got John Worsfold as favourite from Brendan Bolton, Stuart Dew, Blake Carousella, Robert Harvey's there, Mark Thompson. I think Timmy Watson mentioned him yesterday. Johnny Barker has been mentioned by Dennis Pagan. Mark Harvey, of course, is at the Bombers. Matthew Knights is at the Cats. John Blakey's up in Sydney. That's the one mentioned by Dennis Pagan, of course, and Brett Ratton even gets a mention to bring back one of the favourite sons. And John Worsfold had this to say about coaching.
I'm still fairly young in terms of age in your working life. And I've said I do love the game. I love the industry, and I did really love my time coaching at West Coast Eagles. So I certainly haven't ruled out that. That spark may still be there. But if the opportunity was right and I was felt ready to go back into that lifestyle, I'd still be keen to do that.
Kevin, you know that when he was an assistant at Carlton, when was it? Early 90s. No one rated him. They all thought, who is this bloke?
They didn't rate him.
Totally underwhelming. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't really give us any leadership. This bloke was supposed to be the inspirational dual premiership captain. And yet, experience turned him into a very good premiership coach. Got good people around him as well. And so isn't it funny, the irony now, that they might want him back as a coach? Look, I listened to Alan Richardson on Morning Glory. He was outstanding today, talking about concussion, talking about leaving blokes in the twos, talking about making footy fun. It makes you realise as well, you do a good footy apprenticeship, it might be 15 years like Alan Richardson, but you do your time and then you get in the next Alan Richardson or whatever the beverage might be. I think 9 of the last 10 premiership coaches have come through as a first-time coach and they've won a premiership with that side. I think it's the model, whether it's a guy that's been in the assistant coaching ranks for 5 years or 15, I don't know. Just get someone in who's new and who'll grow with the club.
Let's go to Johnny. Joins us in Mount Martha. G'day, John.
G'day, boys. How are you? Just a couple of points. You're dead right, KB. If you play one game, I think you should be eligible. My son's going through that at the moment. And, yes, it is a long and extended process. Also, when the clubs, like a player plays for a certain amount of clubs, under the father-son rule, I think the club that he plays for first should have the first say in where he goes to. Obviously, if he's played at Richmond, they've taken it upon him to put him into the system, so he should go back to Richmond. And also, when they've finished their AFL careers, that they should go back to, like, their country team that they came from instead of going and chasing big bucks. At least go and speak to their country team first.
Well, what if you're someone like Sav Rocker? Played 158 games for Collingwood, 101 for the Kangaroos. So at present, his kids would qualify for both. Yeah. I don't think it should be the first club.
No, no. It's,
so the kids should be able to decide.
Yeah, it's up to the player, John, to decide which club he wants to play with. Even now, I mean, look at Mark Murphy. He could have gone to the Brisbane Lions.
Yep.
Under the father and son rule, elected to go and play at Carlton. So it's still got to come back to the player making his decision. Now, in those cases, the father's got two clubs, so the player's got two choices, but he can only pick one club. I don't know about sending players back to the clubs that they started. I don't know whether you can actually demand people go back and get associated with a club.
And maybe one of those two clubs wouldn't want them anyway. Yeah. So that's part of the romance and part of the intrigue of that live bidding system.
Well, you see at the moment with James Stewart playing with the Giants, and Jake Kelly playing with that label.
Yeah, not Josh, I think I called him Josh.
Is it Jake, is it?
It's Jake, yep.
Obviously, Collingwood decided not to take them under the father and son rule.
Yep.
So not all clubs actually rate these players as highly as others.
Mm. Kelly, for instance, I don't think he was a good kick. He was fearsome, and of course he was Ned's boy, but they just decided to overlook him. That's the fun of the fair.
Sean's in Roval. G'day, Sean. G'day, Sean.
The same lines, and I suppose wanting to come to Carlton at the moment, you'd wonder whether anyone would want to. But, you know, in a different world, you know, how would North supporters feel with Mick Martin's son and Corey McKernan's son running around for Carlton? And Dean Rice's son might end up going to St Kilda. Bradley's son might end up going to Port Adelaide, depending on what they say about the Sandful stuff. So, you know, it's not necessarily cut and dried. We're going to get Rice and
No, of course not. But all you can do is give him the opportunity. All you can do is say, okay, look, if Mick's son was desperate to be, if Mick's son only saw him playing for Carlton and just thought he was fantastic, the big gorilla that Dennis Pagan got, well, that's okay. At least you open up the opportunity.
Muzza is in Geelong. G'day, Muzza.
Yes, you know, at the draft, when we get to the back end of it and they pass, why don't we have the father sons in that end so that those that pass can then pick up their father sons? And also, Mick Malthouse and the Carlton board, the board should get some balls and just sack him, because, you know, we're getting 80 and 70 point defeats the next 2 weeks. If we don't get belted by 100 points each week, Geelong and Sydney aren't much, I don't think.
That's the real danger for Carlton. They haven't really played anyone. They got beaten by West Coast quite heavily over there. But when they run into those good sides, some of them might be coming off a rebound. I'm like, what's Hawthorn going to do to them? What's Sydney going to do to them? That's my point. They're already at a low ebb, but they're not at rock bottom, and they will be at rock bottom by round 17 if this just keeps rolling along without any definition about what happens next year.
But again, that's not Mick's decision.
No, Mick
is the coach, and he's not throwing in the sponge. So he's going to be turning up, and he's going to be coaching Carlton. Now, all the aspects of the club that you're suggesting and a lot of other people are seeing, supporters dropping off, just because they don't know what's happening, they won't give their imprimatur to Mick, they don't know what's happening with their players next year, which players can come, which players can stay, all that sort of stuff, which ones are going. So that comes back to the board. That's why you have a board to make decisions, and sometimes they're tough decisions,
But they've got to make a decision. Now, if they don't want to make a decision, you can't blame Mick for saying, well, I'm turning up doing my job.
So I put this to you. What if Mark Le Goudage, talks to Mick? They walk from his nice little penthouse in Melbourne and they walk up, and as they're walking through Royal Park, they say, Mick, we want you to play the kids. You won't be coaching next year. We want you to coach out this side. We don't want you to play five taggers like you mostly do. We want you to play attractive football. Bring a lot of kids in. We might get beaten by a little more. But you know what? There'll be life and there'll be hope. And we want you to set this club up for the next coach. Because right now the next coach is saying to himself, I don't really know why I want to coach Carlton. Do you think Mick would accept that?
Well, I think he's indicated that he would continue to coach right to the end of the
season. Yes, but would he accept it in a framework of I'm coaching for the next coach? Or would he say what he says now dogmatically? I'm just going to bring the troops through. I'm not playing the kids if they're not ready. We want to keep...
Well, if that was the case, I mean... If the football department and the whole club as a whole said we're going in this direction, mm-hmm. and the person such as the senior coach said, well, I'm not going in that direction, well, then they'd have to sack him.
Well, right now they're wasting time. Whether it's round 12, whether it's round 7, at some stage Le Goudage needs to say to Mick, mate, we're wasting time here. We need to start a rebuild now, not by round 22. We've already wasted a year. We already should have traded some of those players out. We over-excited ourselves about our list. It's time to get cracking.
Now, as we go to the break, Travis Old for the AFL says they've brought fun back into football. There has been some fan experience, of course, where we've had a lot of calls and messages saying there's too much noise at AFL football. Travis Old, I believe, there's on the website, mm-hmm. has suggested that they've brought fun back to football. So the fan experience has been a great success. So we need to hear from the fans to say, has fun been brought back to football? Has fun been brought back to you? Going to the football, because the AFL is claiming that, yet we get so many callers and messages suggesting to us that the noise factor is now driving people crazy.
Well, you blokes are a pack of whingers. All of you yesterday, you, last year, you, Flanagan, Baum, Patrick Smith, you all said the game's boring, you know. There's no razzmatazz, there's no excitement, there's no life. And now the AFL's brought some life to it. Well, a lot of people out there, including a lot of those guys, would have been complaining every week that crowds are down, that something's wrong with the game, you know, there's not enough excitement for the kids. And then the AFL has brought back, yes, some things that are a little bit, you know, I don't know about light shows, I don't know about overinflated lines, but you know what? They're trying something. And yes. They might rein a little bit
but
of those
But have they brought fun back to football?
Well, I think they have.
Well, okay.
And I think if they eventually say, you know what, the inflatable line is not for us. But actually having face painting for the kids and free popcorn for the kids. And you know what? Cheap football and free football on Sundays and cheaper pies, all those things. I think it's been a huge success. I'm not saying all of it's been a success. I'm not saying that maybe the LED lighting wasn't a bit
what's
bright.
What's been successful and what hasn't been successful? 9429 1116.
I don't think it's up to the player to change what they say out on the field. I think it's up to the media and the networks to think, well, can we have this stuff, this risky stuff, maybe being, you know, filtered through to the televisions at home, because it does happen all the time on a field. And for a player who's in the heat of battle to then try and think about what he's going to say because there's a microphone close by, I think that's impossible.
So you clearly think it's an intrusion?
Yeah, I don't like it, and I would rather it gone.
Is it an intrusion? Jordan Lewis speaking on 360 last night, just like the umpires mic'd up on the ground. Do you think it's an intrusion, the fans? 9429 1116.
I think it's a mountain and a molehill. It's not ideal that we heard some swearing, but we know that's the cut and thrust of what happens. I mean, how often during a season do we hear it? I mean, when's the last time we had this issue? I don't know. Last year, we had hundreds of hours of radio. If we took away the ability to hear the umpires and their reasons behind it, people would be saying, oh, no, I can't hear the footy anymore. This is terrible. Look, I think Brennan was a bit naive to think that there was some seven-second dump button, but that's okay. I think we play on. I think we want to hear what the umpire says. And if every now
and then...
Do
the fans want to hear that? 9429 1116. I mean, obviously, Channel 7 believes the fans want to hear what the umpire is saying. Like hearing the conversation the umpire has out on the field? 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116.
I'm not sure about sounds of the game. And Channel 7 tried something with Andrew Swallow, and he just huffed and puffed and didn't really say much. And he tried to get a little bit out to his teammates on the bench, and he was so exhausted he couldn't even talk. But that's okay. Seven were trying something. Yep. So I'm not sure about that. Doesn't give a lot to me. But I definitely want to hear the umpires.
Where's the brotherhood of all the players in the AFL Players Association? You think the AFL Players Association should be ringing up the players or saying to Brendan Goddard, you know, is that a nice thing to actually say to a fellow teammate or a brother of the AFL Players Association, F in week C? I mean, is that a nice thing to actually say to an opponent?
Well, so we're not allowed to swear these days.
Well, I'm saying, is it a nice thing to actually say to your opponent? I mean, These are players who embrace each other after the game. They can't get to each other quickly enough to give them a hug and a cuddle and a kiss and a handshake and a chat.
So when you're Shane Mumford and you've just smashed a bloke into the ground, then what's the nicety of football after that? Excuse me, sir, would you like me to pick you up and can I dust a bit of that dirt and scrap and grass that's off your forehead? Kevin, give us a spell. They're allowed to be brothers off the field and go to football's version of war on the field, aren't they?
Not a nice thing to say to an opponent, is it?
No, it's not a nice thing to say. That's football. Well, I know you had. Did you ever swear? Did you used to swear?
On the field?
Yes.
No, I doubt it.
Well, I'm pretty sure Neil Baum swore on your behalf.
Well, you'd have to ask Neil that. I can't recall that.
Cut and thrust to football.
Certainly didn't call anyone an effing weak C.
Yeah, well, it's a different time,
Texas!
Kevin. It's a different time, Kevin. You would have, tally-ho, old son, and let's get the oranges out, ho-ho!
I didn't speak to any opponent.
Why not?
I tried to just concentrate on playing.
Oh, Kevin, you're pretty boring football then, weren't you? That's what people do these days. They sledge. You know what? Yeah, I think he would.
People do lots of things these days. They take drugs these days
they
too,
do.
You know?
They do.
Just because people do it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
Well, maybe not the F and C bit, but sledging an opponent sometimes, don't you go to ground. Don't you drop at the knees. Sometimes that might actually shame that player into not doing it later.
So if one of his teammates does that, does Brendan Goddard run up to him and call him an F and weak C because he feels he played for a free kick? Say Paul Chapman got a free kick or little Collier got a free kick. Would he do that or does he just say, well, that's okay?
And he says it's okay because he's on the same team as him, Kevin.
So you only abuse people who's on the opposition team for doing things that you don't like.
Tally-ho, old son.
Tally-ho, Nick's on the road. G'day, Nick.
Hey, Kev, how you going?
Good, Nick.
Two quick points. I think this AFL computer system pointing father-son rule is outdated, needs to go. Could you imagine in the NBA the New York Knicks not being able to access to the number one pick, Stephen Curry, because Stephen has to go and play with his old man's team? I think it's time to go. We're the only competition in the world that has father-son. And my second point I want to ask is, what are the problems associated with Jake King losing his workers' comp claim yesterday in the AFL with the injuries?
Well, I think there's going to be some more legal battles taking place there.
It didn't seem like he had an amazing case, and I'm sure that the AFLPA would disagree with that. But he had an injury that occurred from being slung into the ground in an everyday tackle. It wasn't necessarily through the hardness of the ground. It wasn't from some steel plate or wood plate underneath the centre square. It wasn't from a dodgy bit of turf that was next to the ground, as we've seen with Michael Close. It just seemed like he said, look, we need workers' compensation because I've been hard done by. I didn't think he had a good enough case. Doesn't mean there shouldn't be some workers' compensation scheme or some annuity scheme, which there is for all AFL players. But he didn't have some left field outrageous incident that required the AFL to pay him out.
Well, that was at arbitration, and now they're saying that looks like he wants to take the case for compensation for his career-ending injury to the AFL grievance tribunal now.
Yeah, and
oh, well, that's all right. I mean, that's why you have these tribunals and appeals, so that people can go through all of those issues with those different bodies to see whether or not they've got a case.
Yeah, well, we saw with Ryan O'Connor, we saw with Sean Wren, bizarre left field things you never would have expected ended some of their careers. I'm not sure this is the case with a bloke who took a pre-existing injury in and got tackled and it flared the injury up.
Matt wants to talk about bringing fun back to football from Officer. G'day, Matt.
G'day, KB, g'day, Renoffy. I've been to most of the games this year. I'm a Richmond supporter and excuse me. I can definitely say the fun is back in the football. Where I sit in the members, it appears to be a lot more kids there with their parents this year. The face painting is something that's always been there, but that's a good thing they bring to the game. And on Sunday, the kicking the football on the ground, mate, that just, mate.
That's a winner. That is a winner.
Oh, it is, Kevin.
Years ago.
Prepared to accept
that. Great to see it come back. And the kids get such a buzz at a kick in the football on the hallowed turf, like in Savo, at a kick on the MCG. And, mate, their faces light up when that siren goes because they know, a few minutes, I'm running out there, I'm kicking the football through the goals, mate. It's just great to see. And the AFL should be commended on it. And one last thing, the food prices, what they've done, mate, it's just great. Last year, it would have cost me $20 to get a hot dog, chips and a drink. This year it's $11. Now you can't say no to that. That's great value.
Well, that's a great feedback. So well,
Patrick
very,
might
very
believe
happy.
That that's an AFL plant, but some of that game engagement stuff is that cheaper food. Kids under 15 free, kick to kick. Mm-hmm. You know what? The inflatable
kick
lines.
Kick to kick's good.
Yeah.
You don't have to be rocket scientists to actually work out that people like to jump onto the ground and have a kick at the footy.
So what are we complaining about?
I'll tell you what people are complaining about. They're complaining about the noise. The noise. So it's not kids having mm-hmm. kick to kick. They think that's great. They think it's great to have cheaper drinks and hot dogs and pies and chips and all that sort of stuff. They love that. It's just the noise and the LED lighting.
Well,
that
maybe
is
some
driving
people
mad. Have a look.
The LED lighting has
what
been
comes
turned
off
down
the,
in
the
terms
message
of,
bank here.
Yep. The LED lighting has been turned down. Travis conceded that it was too light, too vivid early on. Maybe, you know, the voice of the G, Tony Jabecki and so are pretty loud. Someone said, yesterday was it? Why do we need someone telling us what the score is at every quarter?
Yes.
If we're going to be so pedantic and we don't want someone telling us the score, why are we at the football? Look, if it's not for you, then maybe you bring a pair of earmuffs.
They're saying they can see the score on the scoreboard. Turn it down, says Rod from Gold Coast. Been to 3 games this year. Every game the music and PA was so loud. I was shouting to my mate in the next seat and he couldn't hear me. Others are saying it's rubbish excitement. I was dizzy from those disco lights on the weekend. A break.
On Hungry for Sports, which magical moment caught your attention over the weekend? Find out if it made Ralphie's buzzer beater.
You can always agree or disagree with Ralphie's buzzer beater.
I'm just going to save up my buzzer beater for Minji Lee. I think she's set for greatness. She's already, 20 in the world. She's going to be a superstar after closing out that tournament after that nervous sleep. But for some reason, Rod Pampling's story just took me. He's 45. He's battling it out on the web.com tour. You know, he's probably got enough money to retire, but he's just desperate to get back. His old man had passed away 3 or 4 weeks before, shot a couple of 63s in a row and held off the challenges. And so for that reason, Rod Pampling's my buzzer beater. I just love it. Just love the fight. Even though he's not a spring chicken 20-year-old, he's still as desperate as ever just to compete in the world stage.
Wants to play at the highest level.
Did you see, too, Miguel Jimenez's hole-in-one? Did you see the score?
He won with some grog or something, didn't he?
I don't know. I just loved little moon dance. He just put his his 5-iron there and dropped it into the hole, just sort of emulated it and a little bit of a moonwalk and a strut. There is a very obvious reason why he's the most interesting man in the world.
Not the most liked by all accounts from those on tour. But
I missed that. No, is that right?
Not the most liked.
Why?
Well, when you speak to people who come back from the European tour, I think they find him a little bit cranky.
Oh, so he's got a little bit of the Phil Mickelson's mate.
Just recently with Keegan Bradley at the World Match Play.
Oh, well, that's okay.
They had a bit of an argument on one of the holes.
And yeah, they did.
I was speaking to a player that plays on the European tour, and I mentioned Miguel Angel Jimenez, and he didn't indicate that everyone thought he was a nice guy.
Well, you can't be the most interesting man in the world and the most well-liked man in the world.
Could be interesting, yeah. Bubba Watson, I think, has been voted as the most unlikable person on the USPGA.
Yeah, including Rowan Dommett.
Rod Pampling, by the way, has joined the boys earlier today on Morning Glory, and this is what he had to say.
Anytime you win is big, and then you know, you throw in the situation with Dad passing, and I don't know how to describe it, but it was just amazing, and certainly helps put things in a new direction for the golf, and I can really focus in and look for higher goals. You know, you just think of Dad and all that. It just brought a calming effect, and it was just a lot more relaxed. Things didn't bother me. You know, before you'd get upset with when you did something wrong or whatever, and it just, for whatever reason, we just let it slide and, you know, look what happens. So hopefully good things to come.
Good things happening for the Aussies in golf with Minji Lee and, of course, Rod Pampling, both winning on the weekend.
Yeah, and great things in basketball. Great one off the SMS. Ralphie, Aussie, Matthew Dellavedova, game 6 performance against the Cavs. It was fantastic. Something like 19 points with their starting point guard out.
Got a crystal ball?
I do. I just get that tiny little feeling that maybe Ryan Crowley might play again this year. I think he's already had 8 months of suspension. Mm-hmm. Now, I told the viewers of Fox Footy on Friday night that the methadone was the substance that was involved for back issues. Just think, if he can prove that it's... Well, it's not a performance-enhancing drug. It's a specified substance, and that's why it's on the ban list, to protect your health rather than to protect you from enhancing your performance. If you can prove that it was given to him, that he didn't believe it was actually, you know, a banned substance, that he didn't know it was methadone, there's just a little sneaky chance that he could be back by September. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't know whether he should be, you know, out for 2 years. But I just, you know, watch this space.
Off the SMS, talking about the father and son rule, make the suggestion that you could play 99 games for one side and 99 games for another. So that's 198 games of AFL football and not be eligible under the father and son rule. So that is... That's stupid, isn't it? That is ridiculous that you can play 198 games as a dad and your son's ineligible under the father and son rule. That's why I'm saying that under the point system, we can bring it back to just one game that you play with a club, and then your son should be eligible. Gary is in Airport West. G'day, Gary.
G'day, KB. How are you?
Good, Gaz.
That's good. I want to talk about Carlton wasting the rest of the season. I don't understand why they don't get rid of Mick now. While they've got the players there, bring in the new coach, see what he can do with them. If he can't do anything with them by the end of the season, he can start new again type thing before the end of the season. It just seems like a waste of a season.
There'd only be a caretaker coach if Mick was to be replaced during the course of the season. That caretaker coach would come in. Who would be a caretaker coach?
I looked at it the other day. My choice would be Dean Laidley. I wouldn't think that Rob Wiley would want to take over, clearly given his affiliation. Brad Green's there. Who else? Johnny Barker.
Could Soss take over because he's running the club at the moment. Mm. He's making all the rules and he's looking at the list management and he's looking at the players who's good. We read the other day, I think, in your paper that he's assessed every player on the list. He's good. He's no good. He's no good. He's good.
Is he good, Nick, still? I mean, you want him to do anything. Could he pull the boots on
him? So could Soss also coach for the remainder of the season as well as being the list manager?
Someone suggested that to me the other day. It couldn't happen. You couldn't be the list manager and the coach. Why they got five taggers as well? That's an important issue. Ellard and Armfield and Curnow and all these kind of people. I agree. Open the shackles. Release the shackles, Mick. Just let the players play.
Okay, a break. Coming back, Luke is going to be next cab off the rank. Luke wants to talk about game day experience in Craigieburn. G'day, Luke.
How are you, boys?
Good.
That's a good one. Just a quick one here for you. This is a potential sting for tomorrow. To the 90% of AFL fans who complained and talking about game day experience, they make changes and then they go out and talk about it. Johnny, you're a legend. The only journalist who talks truth in what he says. Everyone else just looks and complains and getting a bit old now, don't you reckon?
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much. It's nice to have one positive.
Oh, look at you blowing up your chest there and puffing it out there.
Bit of strut, bit of wobble.
Big smile on your face.
Well, it's pretty rare. Hey, Dale Kicker, what happens to his kids? Fitzroy, West Coast, St Kilda, Essendon, Fremantle, a total of 181. You have a lot of choices, his kid.
Also, throughout the SMS, Roy Cazale played 99 games for South Melbourne and 99 games for Hawthorn.
Like
so
a
his
fine
son
wine,
never
Kevin.
Had a chance.
You're finally making a bit of sense in your elder years. Well done.
Catch you tomorrow.